Well, hello, folks. This is Chris. On this show, you hear me often talk about legacy. But have you ever wondered, how do I create a legacy? Well, we created the Legacy Journey to help you answer that question. Go to stewardship.com and click on the Legacy Journey DVD home study for more information on building wealth and start creating your legacy today.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. This is Chris Brown. I'm your host, and you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is a call-in show where we talk all about your life, we talk about your money, and we talk about this thing we call stewardship, an honor and a privilege to be able to manage God's resources. Not ours, but God's. The call-in number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Well, it is April 27th, and we're 3 days away from, some of you guys know this, but I am running a marathon. Yes, 26.2 miles, and I know what you're asking. On purpose? I know. Tell me about it. But that's 3 days away. I'm a little bit nervous, anxious, so pray for me. And it got me thinking about this great passage from Paul. Some of you might know where I'm going with this. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. I'll repeat that. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. I can just tell you, in my race, there's going to be no crown for me. I can promise you that. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. That's a verse that I constantly remind myself about. It's a verse that is very challenging. So today, wherever you're at, how are you running your race, huh? Now, you can hear me quote a lot of times Proverbs 10:4 as well. It says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. I told you a verse about discipline, a passage about discipline, and here we are about diligent hands, intentional hands. You're already getting challenged. We're only a few minutes into this broadcast. I am here. We're all here on a journey, all getting better together. But these diligent hands bring wealth. What in the world does that look like? Have you ever wondered, what does the Bible really say about building wealth? Well, we created the Legacy Journey to help you answer that question. All you need to do is go to stewardship.com and click on the Legacy Journey DVD home study to get more information about that. Again, that's stewardship.com. All right, I told you the phone number, 866-357-3283, and we got our first call on the line from Tampa, Florida. This is Rashida. Rashida, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Chris?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, as you were saying, I am trying to be a better stewardess with my money. As a woman of God, I feel like I have not been doing so. So I'm calling to get some advice on car buying.
Mm-hmm.
I have a, right now I'm leasing a 2013 Nissan Maxima, and I know it's well beyond my, what I'm able to afford. Gratefully, it is due back in September, but my conundrum is whether I should lease another car, finance, or pay cash, because as of right now, I'm kind of living paycheck to paycheck, and I really don't have any money saved to buy a cash car.
Mm-hmm. Is there any options to get out of the lease sooner? Have you talked to them yet?
No, I haven't. I have about maybe 4 more months left on the lease.
Okay.
So, right. I mean, it really wouldn't benefit me financially.
Yeah, because there'd be a significant penalty for that.
Correct.
How are you doing on mileage?
Mileage is great. I live 10 minutes from my work, and my son's school is 5 minutes from the home. So everything is within a 5-mile radius, and I actually have gotten to the point where I've subtracted the amount of mileage allotted within the lease from the amount that's on the odometer, and I put myself on a mileage budget every day.
Well, look at you. Very good. My first advice, I didn't want you to get nailed with any mileage fees because it's like – it's crazy. It's like $87 for every 100 feet driven over.
Right.
I mean, it's just nuts. And of course, their limit they give you is about 5 miles per year.
Correct.
But so let's just say that you go to trade in the car. At that moment, would you consider that, when you have no cash, would you consider that an emergency?
Yes.
Yeah, I would too. And so that's the reason why we teach to have an emergency fund. And so what I want to encourage you to do is begin now saving every single nickel and dime that you can. And you want to save up $1,000 in cash.
Okay.
So you want to do that. You're going to have to cut everywhere and make it happen. $1,000 in cash. It's an emergency fund. That's what it's called. And so you're going to use that to buy a $1,000 beater.
Okay.
And then what's going to happen is from there on out, because now you've gotten accustomed to paying car payments, I want you to continue paying a car payment, but not to anyone else. You pay it to yourself.
Okay.
Pay it to yourself, and that'll allow you to build up to a nicer car later. Yeah.
And, I recently graduated with my degree in accounting, so I have about $40,000 in student loans, and I have about $18,000 in credit card debt.
Mm, yeah.
So I begin... steps I've taken to get more money is I started couponing. I eliminated all frivolous spending. I do my monthly budget. I'm now taking on the envelope system. And I also started braiding hair for extra income. So
good.
Whatever I did, I just try to put towards a credit card that at the lowest balance and pay that off, because I remember when Dave said to start with the lowest balance.
Yeah.
I've been doing that, and so far so good, but my biggest concern was what should I do with the vehicle.
Yep.
I haven't gotten my tax return back yet, so I'm still waiting for that.
Uh-huh.
They're moving pretty slow in that area, but I figure instead of should I use that to pay off 2 credit cards, or should I save that to buy the cash card? It's about $2,300.
Well, I mean, if you're going to save that $1,000, because that is before you pay off any debt, you want to save $1,000. And
okay.
So then you're going to, and then you're going to have the money from the tax refund also. So you're going to have this pool of $3,000 or $4,000. The first $1,000 goes towards your car to make sure you have transportation to create some income. And all the remaining balance outside of $1,000, you want to replenish the emergency fund. So keep $1,000 in there. So $1,000 is for the car. The second $1,000 is for baby step one in Financial Peace University, which is the $1,000 emergency fund. All the extra goes towards your lowest debt.
Awesome.
Yep. But where you're at now and where you'll be after that tax refund, that's going to be it's going to give you a little boost and give you a lot of motivation, and that'll get you to the next step. But you just got to be okay with for the next. What's your income?
$38,000.
Okay, so for the next 18 to 36 months, you need to be okay driving a $1,000 car. That's what's going to get you ahead.
Yes.
And this is definitely something that I would be very interested in you calling in periodically and letting us know how you're doing.
I certainly will. And thank you so much, Chris. Everything was very helpful. Put me at ease.
Oh, good. The thing that why you're at ease is because you got a plan and you're willing to sacrifice and willing to work hard. Proverbs 6:5 says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. And that's what you're doing. And that's why you feel relief. Not me.
Yes.
You're the one that's rocking it. So you go after it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. This next call comes in from Auburn, Alabama. This is Dave. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I help you?
All right. First of all, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, honored.
Me and my wife are actually in Financial Peace University down here at a Catholic church nearby. And let's see, we're on week six. So we've been following the Dave Ramsey plan for about 6 months now.
Okay.
And we're actually on baby step two as of today because I got my tax refund in.
There you go.
to get my emergency fund up there. We basically where we're at is I'm trying to get some advice on when do you replace a car. Our problem has been we actually had an emergency fund built up, but then our transmission went out on one of our cars, which cost us $2,700 back in mid-December. And since then, we have had around $4,000 in car repairs between our two clunkers that we already drive. Mm. So right now, we have no problem driving clunker cars. You know, we're on board with the Dave Ramsey plan.
Right.
And we have no problem at all driving clunkers. We have both of our cars put together are maybe worth $5,000.
Okay.
Okay, so we're totally fine with that. No problem at all. But when we keep pouring in all this money that that we work hard for into our clunkers, we can't help but wonder if it's time to trade them in. And I guess I'm just kind of trying to get some, just what would be your input? Should we take our tax returns and buy at least one decent car? Just kind of trying to figure out what would be the best thing to do.
Yeah, I totally get it. What's your y'all's income?
We are roughly $90,000.
Okay. Okay, so it's not necessarily a clunker problem because, I think you probably and many of our listeners and myself have had clunkers that didn't break down all the time. So it's probably just those particular cars or that mechanic shop that's rocking your world. You're the only one that knows whether you trust them or not. But it seems
right.
I think you said, was it 2,700 plus 4,000 or 4,000 total?
We have 4,000 total.
Okay, so 4,000 total into $5,000 cars. I totally get your wrestle. I would be in that same spot going, okay, what do we do? Do I make up for the $4,000 we just spent and drive it for two more years and make it not bother us as bad? Or do I sell it while it's running well? And get some money out of it and go try to get something else for maybe a grand or two. And that, for me, that's up to you. I lean towards if you're having chronic problems with these cars and there happen to be models that Consumer Reports mm-hmm. would say that they are going to continue to have problems, then I would go and get a $1,000 car or something. Here's the big filter. The big filter is, what cars, the two that you have now or the new two ones, and when I say new, I mean like, in the same vein, clunkers, mm-hmm. which one right. allows you to pay off debt faster and which one holds you back? And that's the big filter. You just ask yourself that, and then that should answer it for you. But what's the mileage on them?
Well, we have a 2000 Honda Civic mm-hmm. that has about 165
okay.
on it.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a 2001 Honda Odyssey that has roughly 150,000.
Okay. Yeah, I would start thinking about replacing those. And so make sure you stick to the baby steps and you don't, buy a real expensive car or anything. Nothing, stick to the baby steps. But yeah, my gut tells me that you probably mm-hmm. need to start looking towards replacing those.
Okay. I appreciate the advice. I'm going to have to check back in with you when we have some more questions.
Well, we'd love to hear from you, Dave. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Got an email here from Julie. It says, hello, Chris. I have a question about life insurance. My parents took out a universal plan on me when I was a teenager, and now I'm at the tender age of 48. I threw in the tender age part. She's 48. The current cash value is about $4,000. Both my husband and I have life insurance through our employer. Would it be wise to surrender the life insurance or leave it alone? Julie, I would say surrender it and apply it where appropriate in your baby steps. Wherever you're at in your baby steps, I'd take that $4,000 and apply it to your baby steps. That gets you closer and closer to investing in something that actually is worth something, unlike a universal plan, but with some conditions. You ready? Make sure you have 10 to 12 years of your income in term insurance first, which is probably more than your employer offers. So make sure you check into that, how much they're actually offering. Usually, it's usually a $25,000 to $100,000 policy if it's offered through your employer. Make sure those new policies are in full effect first. And be sure to talk to one of our ELPs to talk you through how to do all that. So at stewardship.com, you just click on Find an ELP, our endorsed local providers, and they'll walk you through how to do all that. You know, the money lessons that we teach every day on this show work because they're God's way of handling money. They're the same lessons that we teach in Financial Peace University, using the 7 baby steps, giving you a plan for an emergency that will happen, by the way, for attacking debt, for investing, for giving. And I get so pumped about hearing that many of you are working through those baby steps and seeing success. And maybe you're listening right now and, man, you've followed the plan. You're out of debt. You're rocking. And now you're asking, now what? It's not uncommon. You know, a funny thing happens. You're in baby step 3. You're closing in on baby step 4. And you start asking a whole new set of questions, things that didn't even matter to you when you're paying off debt. Now you can kind of see into the future. That's why we created the Legacy Journey, to help you answer those questions. The Legacy Journey DVD Home Study is a biblically based class that will give you a plan for tackling the next steps in your financial journey. Proverbs 10:4 says, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." And we want you to know what the Bible really says about this diligence, about building wealth, and then give you a plan to start creating your legacy. If you want to know more, head to stewardship.com and click on the Legacy Journey DVD Home Study, and you can take your next step. Get your questions answered. Get on a plan to create your legacy.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Our next call comes in from Charleston, South Carolina. This is Thomas. Thomas, how are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Well, I heard a statement or something like that by Dave Ramsey in reference to paying off debt, and then also, you know, whenever you pay off debt, you basically lose your Beacon score. But I've been trying to buy a house now for several years, and I've never been able to get my Beacon score high enough to where I can qualify for a home loan. Mm-hmm. And if I continue to get rid of my Beacon score by paying off debt, how am I supposed to get qualified for a home loan if I don't meet the Beacon score?
Yeah, I think that's a great question that many of our listeners have probably asked as well. They've heard me and Dave Ramsey allude to that several times, and so I'm glad you're asking it. If you have a poor credit score and a poor financial position, that would unqualify you regardless. If you had a poor credit score and you had a good financial position, what you'd do is you'd go through what's called manual underwriting, and that is available. Actually, one mortgage office that I could recommend is Church Hill Mortgage that does that. I know they do that. And what they do is, instead of putting you through a generated system that's all computerized and it pops out whether you qualify or not, they actually sit down and look at your finances. Imagine that, right? So they sit down and they say, okay, here's your assets, here's your liabilities, here's the risk assessment. They go back into a room, they talk to three or four people. Hey, what do you guys think about bringing on this client? Well, I think maybe they need to put 30% down because they are kind of a risk, or maybe they need to put 10% down, 50% down. I don't know what it is, but they go back and they actually make a cognitive decision. Wow. There's a difference also between a poor credit score and no credit score. A lot of times we're talking to, you don't need a credit score. What we're referring to is, if you have a credit score of zero because you've never borrowed, you've never gone down that road, then you're going to have to prove some assets and liabilities and what your financials look like. If you have a poor credit score because of poor behavior currently, then you're right. If you've got poor financial, and I don't know your situation, Thomas, at all, but if somebody has poor financial decisions currently, then yes, you're still not going to qualify. But if you can prove, hey, this is all in the past, but here's my financial position, we've got this amount of money in the bank, we only have 10% of our income or 20% of our income going towards permanent, fixed cost. We have a lot of discretionary income. And this is our current situation. We got a stable job with a great a company that has a great history. All those kind of things go into it, and then you can make a decision, and boom, you qualify.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's another idea, is just to pay cash for the whole thing. You don't have to deal with any kind of underwriting, which is the process that I'm in right now. I'm saving cash, and I'm about 60% of the way there, and I'm just waiting to pay cash. I don't have to deal with any of that hassle.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, exactly. I'm working hard. I've been doing it since January of 11, trying to save up cash, and it's been a long journey. But that's my plan, is to go in there with cash and get something 80 cents on the dollar, because nobody knows what to do when you have a cash buyer. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. Okay, well, just give you a brief synopsis of my situation. I've been married for 18 years, and for 18 years we have not lived on a budget, and we're finally getting that squared away, and we're trying to get our finances squared away, and our entire debt is like $27,000, and that's including two car loans. So we're trying to get all that taken care of and wiped out, and then we're going to work on buying a home. So we're just going to go from there.
Yeah, yeah. I think, and you can start having conversations with possible manual underwriting lenders, and have those conversations now, so that if that need pops up in the future, you'll know who to go to.
Okay. You said Churchill Mortgage is one that's...
Yep, and we have that link at stewardship.com.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Thomas.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Got an email here from Dave. Says, Chris, you and Dave Ramsey have definitely changed how my wife and I manage our finances and how we think about money. Dave provided us with the practical guidance what to do with our money, and you have provided thought-provoking discussions that make me think more about what God would have us do with his money. As a Methodist, I've been thinking about John Wesley's sermon where he says, to gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Very famous John Wesley sermon. I've been wondering, which meaning of the word save Wesley intended? Did he mean saving as be frugal with your spending, or saving as in putting money aside? I'd love to hear your take on that question. Well, Dave, scholars say both about not only how much we pay, but also what we're buying. You know, Wesley was all about purchasing necessities. And his point of saving for him was not hoarding. His whole point was about giving. You save so that you can give. Very inspiring. And I think as a steward, we need to balance this with Psalm 128, verse 2, that says, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Obviously, there's a portion of that that we need to enjoy. That's biblical as well. And knowing at the same time that true happiness comes from things that cannot be purchased. And so there's a balance there with all that, for sure. Great question. Well, as we seek to do just what John Wesley said, gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can, we must stay not only inspired to do so, encouraged along the way, but also educated on the best way to do that. And of course, that is exactly what we at Ramsey Solutions feel uniquely called to do. And you can learn all about God's way of managing money and building wealth with the Legacy Journey DVD Home Study. And check it out at stewardship.com and start creating your legacy today. All right, well, that is it for today. Remember to be praying for my big marathon day on Saturday. I'm a little nervous. And until next time, let's, like Paul challenged us to do, run in such a way as to get the prize. God bless you.